figure out what you want to do about the kids, the money, and everything else, so you don't have to pay lawyers to do it. For more information, go to TwinCitiesMediation.com.
I'm Susan Shahada.
And I'm Colleen Buckman. This is Raising the Consciousness.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Raising the Consciousness, the show that provides simple solutions for conscious living. Brought to you by Sacred Rearrangements Shop and Healing Center in Uptown Minneapolis and Fairtrade Ohm, a conscious philanthropic production company. I'm Susan Shahada. Colleen Buckman is out of the studio again this week. She'll be back with us next week. She's in Costa Rica right now. Lucky gal. So later on our integration segment, where we discuss the mind-body-spirit connection, I will be joined by author Deanna Ryder, who has just released her newest book, The Nine Scoundrels, How to Recognize and Release Subtle Patterns of Sabotage. But first, guess what time it is?
It's time for another episode of Susan Shahada, Space Guru!
Welcome to Space Guru, where we explore the important spaces in our lives, how they affect us, and how we can affect them. I'm pleased to welcome back to the show Carol Heider, internationally known feng shui expert and founder of the Wind and Water School of Feng Shui. Carol joined us over the winter to give us a brief overview about her school, but today we get to have a little longer conversation. Welcome back, Carol.
Thanks, Susan.
Well, since I'm a feng shui practitioner myself, among other things, most of our listeners are now pretty accustomed to the basics of feng shui. Mm-hmm. But every practitioner has a slightly different approach, and sometimes actually a much different one. But I want you to begin today by talking about how you define the work you do and basically your approach to space.
Well, I would imagine, although we come from different schools of thought on feng shui, that the ultimate goal is the same. One of the things that we want to do is create harmony for somebody. Like you, I'm sure people call because there's an issue. And so my approach is a very personal, a personal one. I don't have anything to do if I go to a place and somebody says, no, it's all fine. I don't know what to do. I'm sure it's kind of like going to a doctor and going, I'm okay, but check me out, or, you know, figure out something that's wrong. So I am driven by the client and what is it that they want to have happen. What are some goals? What are some dreams? Where are they stuck? And sometimes it's just really obvious. I mean, they already know, well, the money's an issue, or our relationship is an issue, or I mean, you know, I've been in a series of relationships and nothing seems to solidify. And but sometimes it's interesting how people will not know their issue.
Absolutely. I was going to say, don't you find that sometimes people will say, oh, I mean, it's all fine. And Then they start talking and then
it is not at all fine. No, and usually that initial conversation is really critical.
Yes.
Because I have a phone conversation, I send a letter, and, you know, confirmation letter, and kind of say, be thinking about things, and we still get there, and like you say, oh, it's really great. And you can see just by the way they say it that it ain't so great.
Right.
And so, you know, and sometimes they just aren't ever going to tell you.
Right.
You just have to, you know, do what you can do. But every now and then there was a breakthrough, and it's, and I think, I'm sure like you as well, there's times when I feel like, gee, if I were a therapist here, this would be helpful at this time, and which I'm not, and I don't pretend to be, and so I bring them back to, you know, what I can really do to help them, which is feng shui, not be a therapist. But I think a lot of times people just want someone to listen to them. They want some assurance. They want some support. And for some reason, they're not getting that in their lives. And so I sit there for a couple of hours and can lend an ear.
Absolutely. We were speaking to a residential designer recently on the show, and it also appeared that he was doing a little bit of talk therapy with his clients as well. And
well, you know, that's the whole thing about feng shui is your space reflects your life.
Exactly.
And so I think for a lot of people, to make changes in their space is less painful than making changes in their life. What they don't bargain on is that because their mirror, so to speak, their space is changing, their life will too. But and it can be less painful, or it can be more of a I don't know if pleasant, but more of a conscious change when they've, you know, even though this makes no sense, they might clean out their garage or they might rearrange a room, and that starts a whole brain synapse.
Oh, yes.
Which changes their thought patterns, and all of a sudden they're changing their behavior as a result. So you can't underestimate what it means to, you know, paint a room.
Don't you find, because I remember it seemed like for a while there people would say to me, wow, I thought you were just going to come in and tell me how to move my furniture around. I didn't know I'd be talking about all this really personal stuff.
Yes, that is so true. And I used to often get, do I have to be there? So they call me and say, well, you just come in. I'll leave the key. You just come in and do it, and then I'll send you a check.
Oh,
you know, not totally missing the piece that is so personal about it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen much anymore. But early on, that was always an interesting point. Like, what had they read that they'd come up with that idea?
Well, it's such a great statement on our society and how we're looking for other people to fix our problems for us.
Yes, that's right, to solve it. And I am really clear. Early on, I used to always try to leave a place with something changed. You know, like if we talked about, oh, is it possible to move the bed, or is it possible to take this dead plant out of here? You know, I mean, I would see if while I was there, that would happen. And so they would see it. They'd have a, you know, sort of a tactile experience of, oh, my space is different. I've even learned that I don't want to even take responsibility for that. It's like this is really your journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm out there throwing out, you know, dried flowers, and they're, meanwhile, inside just dying because they wanted them, or they don't feel comfortable, or I'm kind of pushing them, and, you know, they need to check with other family members, or, you know, so I don't do any of that anymore. It is totally their call, because I don't want to feel like they got pushed into anything.
Well, it's especially because, as you said, it is such a personal process, and people underestimate the psychological effects
of
this work.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes time, and I tell people sometimes, I tell them, okay, we're doing our consultation now, but this is work you might be doing for years.
That's right. That's always the question I get. And so how long do I have to wait? How long do I, you know, how much time usually goes by? And, you know, quite honestly, I guess I would say, and I do tell people, now, if in 2 or 3 months goes by and, like, nothing has shifted, then maybe we need to regroup, or we need to think about it in a different way. But, you know, to say that, you know, a week or so, all this should be turned around, that's unrealistic.
Right.
Although that said, I've seen things happen in a week.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you have too. You
Absolutely.
Know, like, boom, the check arrives, or the job appears, or the partner shows up. You know, well, that's great, but that isn't something I have clients expect.
So, with your approach, do you give very specific? In Western feng shui, there's a lot of what they call remedies, for example.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So do you give people specific things that kind of end up being across the board remedies, or do you find that over the years now, you've been doing this a long time, like personalizing it to the individual a little bit more?
Yeah, it's very personal. And I'll tell you what else has happened over the years, Susan, is I have discovered that I tell them less and less.
Mm.
You know, I used to go in and, oh my God, get that paper and pencil out here, and here's number one. And then we just go down this list, and they'd have, you know, pages of things they'd have to do, and I'd watch them going, when am I going to? But I was just adamant they had to get all this, they had to know about this, they had to really, you know, work this. And then I realized I was also getting a little bit overwhelmed. You know, I was having to think about all this stuff and, you know, don't miss anything. And now I've realized that, you know, if I give them less to do, they're very intentional about it, and they're very specific. Mm-hmm. And then we can really personalize it. Like, even if it's like, I'd love to see you put flowers on this table. And they go, I can do that. Well, all right, so let's just talk about that a bit. You know, here's some specific things I'd like. I'd like some height. I'd like some color yellow in here. And this is why, because I want them to really get behind the idea and understand, so they don't plunk some flowers there and then later on go, I don't know, had to do flowers, don't know why.
Absolutely. I think that's a really good point because a lot of people misunderstand feng shui to be these little strange remedies that don't really land for them rather than recognizing, and I think this is where the work we do has sort of evolved over the years too, that it's about getting people to recognize that unless they have a relationship to what change they're making, it's really only going to affect them so much.
Yes, that's right. That's totally, they have got to get invested. And you know, and I've learned to back away if somebody says, oh no, I want a cactus there. I really love cactus. You know, I grew up and blah, 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 blah. Well, just because I don't like cactus really is an irrelevant piece here. So I'm really watching their eyes and watching their face all along the way. I want that light to go on where they go, oh yeah, I'll do that. And it almost doesn't matter what they do.
Right, right.
You know, it's that if they got a hook there, that's great. That's just fabulous, and that's what I wait for. And I would rather walk out of there after a couple hours where they have three really solid things to do than 20 things that are going to kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Wonderful, exactly. Well, when we come back, I know you want to share with our listeners what they can do to help them deal with the shift we're experiencing in the economy right now.
Right.
So we'll be focusing on that a little bit more, maybe finding some specific things that people can do. That's always a fun one to talk about.
It's people a big topic right
it
now.
It is a big topic right now. It seems like everywhere I go, I'm hearing out of the corner of the room somewhere, well, blah, blah, the economy, blah, 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 the way things are, well, you know, in the market. It's like, okay, it's on people's minds.
It is.
Well, we'll be right back with more from feng shui expert Carol Heider. Thank you to one of our sponsors, Dan Simon, with Twin Cities Mediation. Transformative mediation helps you handle conflict as constructively as possible. You can find Dan on TwinCitiesMediation.com. I'm Susan Shahada with Colleen Buckman on Raising the Consciousness on AM 950 KTNF, the voice of Minnesota. Space is sacred. Space inside your home and space inside your body. Make conscious choices about how you fill these spaces. Sacred Rearrangements helps rearrange the space around and the space within. At Sacred Rearrangements, you'll find a shop with vintage, eco-friendly, and spiritually conscious merchandise, a design studio, and a healing center at 2207 Lindale Avenue South in Uptown or at sacredrearrangements.com. The perfect gift, intentional living space, direction in your life at Sacred Rearrangements.
Sue takes a conference call at home.
I'm still in my pajamas.
Mike's customers can reach him anywhere, anytime.
Even at the driving range.
Tom leads a sales meeting from his deck.
Kids are in the pool, burgers on the grill.
What do these people all have in common?
We're all connected with the Velocity Telephone Virtual Office.
The Virtual Office is a cost-effective telephone solution for a small office, but powerful enough to run a call center for thousands of phones. To create your virtual office today, call 763-222-2930 or visit velocitytelephone.com/AM950. The Velocity Virtual Office is the first and last phone system you'll ever need for your business. Find out more by calling 763-222-2930 or visit velocitytelephone.com/AM950. The Velocity Virtual Office, anywhere, anytime.
It's spring, and at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, now's the time for our annual cleaning and maintenance special. Every stove and fireplace needs regular service. And right now, if you call Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces at 612-338-6606, you'll save $30 on award-winning professional service. Or you can do it yourself. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have chimney brushes, cleaners, and the know-how to get you started and done. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, you'll find the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of wood, gas, and electric stoves and fireplaces. Woodland has the knowledgeable staff that will help you choose what's right for your home. Over 30 working units on display at 2901 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Online at woodlandstoves.com. Call 612-338-6606. That's 612-338-6606. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, installing and servicing fireplace products for over 30 years.
I'm Susan Shahada.
And I'm Colleen Buckman. Raising the Consciousness is committed to local communities building a more sustainable future for all of us.
If you are a local business or organization that wants to partner with Raising the Consciousness as a sponsor or advertiser, contact us at raisingtheconsciousness.com.
We believe in creating a cohesive network of conscious business. Online at raisingtheconsciousness.com.
To Raising the Consciousness, providing simple solutions for conscious living. I'm Susan Shahada with Colleen Buckman, who is in Costa Rica, but that was just her music playing here in the background. So thank you, Keith, our sound designer, for bringing in a little Colleen on the show, even though she's far away. Well, we've been talking to internationally known feng shui expert Carol Heider about basically her approach to feng shui, and we are going to move into some specifics on what our listeners can do to help them deal with the financial shift, shall we call it. There's obviously a big shift happening with the economy, and it's on people's minds, and feng shui, among many other things, can help us bring our attention to what we can do.
It really can open up some new possibilities. You know, I think people are always disappointed when I tell them what I think is their key thing, because it is something I sort of drone on about. But this is a great opportunity if people suddenly find themselves with time on their hands. You know, they could spin in one way, which is and there, you know, certainly to honor the whole process, if you've lost a job or been downsized or, you know, something hasn't worked out, a business has failed, you rightfully so will feel abandoned or hurt or, you know, the self-worth issue always comes up. And so you honor that. But the other thing that is so critical right now is dealing with clutter. And I know people are like, oh, man.
Here we go with the clutter.
What do you got? What else you got? What else can you tell me? But this, you know, your space reflects your life. And this is a time when the opportunity comes up to really clear your space to clear your life. And for some people, they now have time. They now have the time to do that.
Which is the big excuse that comes up a lot of times.
Always. I'd love to get to that basement, but, you know, I'm working 40 hours a week. Well, now's the time to do that. And although that seems like, what on earth am I doing in this basement? I should be looking for a job. And yes, this doesn't replace networking and sending out resumes. Of course it doesn't. But there's going to be times when the whole reality of the situation can really take you down, unless there's some plan that says, but I need to lighten things. I need to be enlightened. I need to be able to look forward. And if there's stuff all over, see, here's what I've seen in just a couple of clients of mine. They lost their job, so they come home to their home office, which doubles as sort of a dumping ground. The kids use the computer, so there's, you know, that stuff all over. It's a little desk. It's not adequate for them to, you know, use it on a long-term basis, let alone look and find a job online. And so, you know, there's no message here that says I'm a professional. And this is the time when I say, here's a great place to start. What would it take for this office to become a headquarters for you? And, you know, and this can also be a chance for people to say, all right, I've lost my job. Now I'm going to see if I can start this business I've always thought about. Well, you're not going to start it at a little tiny desk on a card table and a folding chair. And especially if there's, you know, teddy bears on the wall. Counterproductive to what you're trying to do, which is present yourself as a professional. So I'm always saying, you know, figure out a way to lighten things, to find some space for yourself, literal and figurative space. And starting in the office, a home office, or setting up a corner that is a home office for yourself, to find that new job, if that's indeed how it's affected someone in their lives, that's a critical piece. just a huge piece.
And I'd like to add into that, I think I spoke to this on the show a couple episodes ago, that sometimes your home office might not be a specific, like, computer desk-y kind of area. Like, I used my partner Keith as an example, who's a builder. That would be a really good opportunity for him to look at his workspace. Mm-hmm. Whatever the thing in your home is that really, you know, equals work to you,
right,
that's important,
right,
to
right,
look
right,
at.
Right.
So,
yeah, it is not the time to be sitting at your dining room table and kind of filling out resumes and that's not where you want that to happen.
Exactly.
You want to feel like you are in a professional office, mm-hmm, doing your work.
Yeah.
So, and thinking clearly about resumes and all that, you know, like, that's hard to do when you have no professional stimulation. I keep using the word professional, but, you know, that's the word. If there's no professional stimulation where you're sitting, you know, on a bouncy ball, mm-hmm, trying to make something of your life, this is a chance to really, I think in a time like this when we feel so out of control, here's where you have control. You have control in that part of your life, your space.
Yep.
And once people start getting a handle on something, you know, like the junk drawer gets cleaned out or that closet that's been annoying you gets, it's like there's an empowerment that happens. And I think it starts a momentum and people then get on fire about it. But it's that first step that's really hard. And they, you know, there's always like, oh my God, if I get started, I'll never know where to end. It'll consume me. So you got to set limitations and say only for a couple hours tomorrow, I'm gonna work on my space. And then when it's 5 o'clock, I'm done. I don't have to like do it all.
Right.
It's not what I'm being asked to do, because sometimes the space kind of dictates, you know what? I started in here, but I realized that stuff can go over in this other space and that could be moved this way. And then, oh, and look what's happened. And suddenly, you know, it all kind of ties together. But if you just go in like a bulldozer and say, all weekend, I'm not coming out, I'm just cleaning this, you know, you don't allow that kind of flow to happen, which is exactly what you want.
Exactly. And I think a good point to mention, too, is if you're feeling tight with financial flow in your life, you get things moving energetically in your space, and that opens up the flow. And
yes, it does. Yeah, and I know, you know, for some people, this is a leap of faith that you know, you're going to change your space, you are going to change your life, you're going to change the flow, you are going to change the flow in some way, flow in your
exactly.
relationship, in your money, in your health.
Yeah, absolutely.
It manifests in so many ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Carol, I know you have a number of wonderful products that discuss all of the things that you do, and you can find those things on her website. You have your bestseller, Wind and Water, your personal mm-hmm. feng shui journey. What's the name of your second book?
Living Feng Shui.
Living Feng Shui.
That's a book of stories.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. That's a fun one. I really think people learn a lot from reading other people's
yes.
journeys.
Yes.
And then a couple DVDs as well.
I have one called The Science of Feng Shui, which is really brings in some scientific piece about cymatics and why, how energy affects matter. And then my other second CD is, I just drew a blank.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it true? It's like your own work is, it's rare that, well, you know what? They can find
they can
them
find
all
it.
On your website, which is carolheider.com.
It's really good. Really.
And I just want to spell your name for people if they're mm-hmm. looking up your website, Carol Heider, CAROLEHYDER.
Listening to your space.
Yes.
That's the DVD, Listening to Your Space.
So you can find more about Carol on her website. And thank you.
You're welcome. I'm also having a free teleconference this Wednesday night.
That's right.
And if they go to my website under upcoming events, it's called Feng Shui Makeover, and they can sign up for that.
Wonderful. Well, we will be right back with local author Deanna Ryder discussing her latest release, The Nine Scoundrels, How to Recognize and Release Subtle Patterns of Sabotage. Thank you to our sponsor, Yoga Soul in Eagan, Yoga Center and Pilates Studio. We'll be right back.
The The Yoga Soul Center is a full-scale yoga center and fully equipped Pilates studio located in Eagan. We serve our clients by providing a serene environment for strengthening the body and healing the soul while creating sacred space to awaken consciousness through yoga and Pilates classes. Join us on Sunday, April 26th from 1:30 to 5 for discovering your intuition and developing your intuitive gifts with Bobby Sullivan. Learn how each one of us possesses the gift of intuition. For more information, find us online at yogasoul-center.com. Awaken your consciousness at Yoga Soul.
Hi, I'm Ted Allen from Food Network. Stand up against HIV and AIDS by sitting down at one of your favorite restaurants. On Thursday, April 30th, gather your friends and family and enjoy good food for a great cause. Subaru is proud to host Dining Out for Life to raise crucial funds for your local organizations in the fight against AIDS. This is one occasion where you won't feel guilty about ordering dessert. Visit diningoutforlife.com and make a reservation now. It's the most satisfying meal you'll have all year.
AM 950, the voice of Minnesota, is a Silver Spoon sponsor of Dining Out for Life and reminds you to visit Cafe Latte for dinner. Cafe Latte, the St. Paul landmark for affordable gourmet food with their exceptional pizza and wine bar at 850 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. More information is available at diningoutforlife.com or follow the link from the AM 950 KTNF.com website.
This is Rachel Maddow, and you just have to experience everything that Victoria and Grand has to offer, like Cafe Latte, the St. Paul landmark for affordable gourmet food with their exceptional pizza and wine bar, or the delicious smell of fresh baked goods from Bread and Chocolate, and of course Quince, where you'll find one-of-a-kind artisan jewelry, gifts, clothing, and shoes. Cafe Latte, Bread and Chocolate, and Quince, where life is just better, all at Victoria and Grand in St. Paul.
I'm Susan Shahada.
And I'm Colleen Buckman. Raising the Consciousness is committed to local communities building a more sustainable future for all of us.
If you are a local business or organization that wants to partner with Raising the Consciousness as a sponsor or advertiser, contact us at raisingtheconsciousness.com.
We believe in creating a cohesive network of conscious business. Online at raisingtheconsciousness.com.
Here's a look at your weather forecast from the AM 950 Weather Center. Today, showers and thunderstorms as we get up to 55. Tonight, more showers and thunderstorms and a low of 43. Tomorrow, partly sunny as we get up to 53. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy and 37. Tuesday, sunny and 60. And Tuesday night, partly cloudy and a low of 38. That's been a look at your weather forecast from the AM 950 Weather Center. AM 950, KTNF, the voice of Minnesota.
Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children has doubled, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children will use them. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Raising the Consciousness, Simple Solutions for Conscious Living. I'm Susan Shahada with Colleen Buckman, who is off kite surfing in Costa Rica as we speak. We have with us today Deanna Ryder. Deanna is an author and public speaker. She is a certified yoga and Pilates instructor, as well as a rebirthing breath worker and Reiki practitioner. Welcome to the show, Deanna.
Thank you, Susan.
Deanna is also a close friend of mine. We go back a long time, about 20 years, in fact. People always ask, now, how do you know Deanna? Well, that's a long story, actually.
The school bus.
Yeah, the school bus, exactly.
Grade.
So I was actually joking just now that, well, here we are on the radio together, Deanna. We've changed a bit in the 20 years.
Just a little bit.
Well, I want to say that at Sacred Rearrangements, I've personally sold many copies of your first book.
which is entitled Dancing with Divinity, Positive Affirmations for Any Situation. It's a virtual encyclopedia of affirmations is what it is. It comes with an accompanying CD that walks you through affirmations for a number of different situations. It's also sort of a meditation disc. Can you explain how that book is structured?
Sure. The idea came to me when I was on a retreat. The title, first of all, Dancing with Divinity, and I kind of took a moment to really listen to that, and I thought, oh, that's a great title for a book. And then, I'm not sure if it was right before that or after, the idea to alphabetize affirmations. And I have used affirmations for more than 20 years in my life, and I've never seen them put together this in this structure where they're alphabetized and you can use them as a reference material. So I started playing around with that at this retreat. And I in my journal, I wrote a number of different ones and just kind of started going through the alphabet. And that's where the book, you know, grew from that. And
I remember when you came back from that retreat because you were like, all right, I need all the negative feelings you could possibly have so that I can come up with positive affirmations for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, what are you doing now?
And here
but
it is.
It's a great book. I have so many people come in and find their way to it on the shelf at the shop and just get so excited about, oh, wow, she's really covered a lot of different emotions in here. Like, just give us an example out of there.
Cocky. And what else? Masochistic, materialistic.
If you're feeling materialistic.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you're feeling misunderstood, when you're missing something, when you've misplaced something, when you're moving forward.
Wonderful. You know, affirmations, I think, are really interesting for people because what I find as a holistic healer is a lot of people will say, oh, well, I have a hard time working with affirmations because they don't ring true for me. But I think something you did a really good job of in the book is you give a number of different affirmations for each mm-hmm, situation. Mm-hmm. And so the reader can find an affirmation of those options that perhaps lands for them in a little bit more of a genuine way, or adapt it. Just use these affirmations as a jumping off point.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I'll read an example here, just opening up to a page. When you're unable to give or receive a compliment, recognizing the beautiful actions of others brings me bliss and adds to the beauty in the universe. I enjoy giving and receiving heartfelt compliments. So, yeah, I've given a number of different ones, and I've really, even as I was writing it, and I'd go and experience some situation, and I'd reference in the book, and there were a couple times where I was like, oh, that doesn't work at all, or, you know, it's not quite enough, and I just kept going through it. So it was experiential in the research.
Now, how do you recommend people use the affirmations? In terms of, do you tell them, write them down 10 times before you go to bed, or paste them up on your mirror so you see them first thing in the morning? Or
I suggest that they write them, say them. They could kind of use them as a mantra when they're out on a walk or something. I have the recording, the CD of the affirmation, so they can listen to that while they're driving, while they're sleeping at night. They can sing the affirmations. They can paint them. They can, you know, sky's the limit, really,
right,
on it.
Just working with them in mm-hmm. whatever capacity. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, your latest book, I want to hop right to that because you've just released it. Mm-hmm. It is called The Nine Scoundrels, How to Recognize and Release Subtle Patterns of Sabotage. So tell us, what are the nine scoundrels?
The nine scoundrels are nine different ways that we sabotage ourselves. And so I've made them as little scoundrels. There's a chart in the book that actually has the nine little scoundrels and little faces on each of them. But I do want readers to recognize that the scoundrel and the pattern are one in the same. So it's not something outside of yourself. It's actually within yourself as well. So some of the different scoundrels are complacent scoundrel, delayed gratification scoundrel, addicted to misery, fear of happiness, martyr scoundrel, forward thinking, stuck in the past, negative thinking. So those are quite a few different ones. And all of them are a different chapter of the book, and then ways that you can recognize it, and then suggestions to move beyond those patterns and heal from that.
Wonderful. I think sometimes people need to separate the behavior from themselves mm-hmm. to feel comfortable with it sometimes, mm-hmm. at least at the beginning. Obviously, it's important to recognize and integrate that the behavior is within yourself
Absolutely.
So that you can affect it. But I think it's nice to be able to, it's just this little quirky character over here. Mm-hmm. This isn't me. Yep. So how does the presence of these scoundrels affect our lives?
Well, they can show up in so many different ways. So example is if you're a complacent scoundrel, if you really radiate with that one, and you just become complacent in many different ways. One of the examples that I gave was, oh, this broken window isn't letting in much rain, you know? And
oh, I see. Okay.
You know, so if it's a window in your car or in your house or whatever, you know, it's the things that we can say, oh, it's all right. It's good enough.
It's not a big deal. Mm-hmm, or it's not affecting mm-hmm. me that much anyway.
Yeah. And so if you see that you have that complacent scoundrel in your life, that pattern, it can go into so many different layers. So you can be complacent in your job, in your marriage, with your house, with your relationships, complacent in your thinking, in everything. It can show up in so many different ways.
That's interesting. So does that mean, too, that each of us may have a couple different scoundrels that we're operating from? We're not necessarily just one
yeah.
of the nine.
There might be one that, you know, as you see the chart, you might say, oh, ho, I am definitely the negative thinking scoundrel, mm-hmm. or I'm definitely stuck in the past. But then as you look at the entire chart and really, you know, look into each one, you see, oh, well, yeah, I have some tendency to be complacent, and sometimes I'm like a martyr scoundrel. Sometimes grass is greener scoundrel rings true for me. So it could be a bit of all nine. It
okay.
could be, you know, a bit of each. Yeah.
Okay. So how do we release our scoundrels? Once we recognize that they're, once I know, oh, I'm the martyr scoundrel. Oh, yeah, that's me. So now what?
There's a technique that I describe in the book called the over technique. And each of the letters stands for a different step in the technique. The O is observe. So you just observe the technique. And it can be, you're observing it as perhaps outside of yourself, that anyone could be having this pattern of sabotage. The V is to verify, to really look into that scoundrel, the patterns, the things that would show up, and verify that, yep, I do that. And then examine is the E. So examine why. How has it helped you in the past? How has it negatively affected you? And what are some reasons why you keep doing that? Or how did you learn it in the first place? And the R is to release it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to replace it with a new behavior and to just let it go. And going through all those four steps can help you to let go of that.
Wonderful. I like that acronym. Let's say that again. Over. Okay, so observe.
Mm-hmm. Observe, verify.
Examine.
And release.
Release. Very nice. Now, I want to talk about that examine part uh-huh. because you mentioned something that I find very interesting is recognizing how has this behavior served you? Mm-hmm. Because I think that's an important piece for people to look at. They oftentimes will look at these characteristics as perhaps just negative,
mm-hmm.
all the while not perhaps recognizing that to have this way of behaving, it's served me in this manner because mm-hmm. it brings me whatever. Can you speak to that a little bit? I mean, just
yes.
maybe with just an example.
So if we look at the martyr scoundrel, and we want to see how has that behavior helped us. The martyr scoundrel can help us in many ways to be very generous with our time and our talents to help other people. And so it can be very beneficial in that manner. But it can be detrimental to us because we're always putting others before ourselves and we're never really examining our own needs. And people can end up getting resentful of that and maybe not realize why. And so that could be one example of how it can go either way.
Well, and I even think with the martyr example that you're giving, another way that being a martyr might serve people is it makes them feel needed. Mm-hmm. So it makes mm-hmm. them feel important, which is neither positive nor negative. I know with my clients, I really work to get them to dismantle this idea that it's good and bad or that it's positive and negative mm-hmm. so much mm-hmm. as this is the behavior, this is how it's serving you, mm-hmm. this is how it's not serving you, what are you going to do about it,
yeah.
kind of a thing. So mm-hmm. that's where the release part comes in, it sounds like, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. once you've recognized it, it's just about... Now, people say that easier said than done, I imagine.
Yeah, a lot of people, that often comes out of their mouth, this is hard, you know, and I can't do this, and, you know, and I just tell people, use it as an example for anyone, that anyone can have this pattern, and just observe when it happens, get the awareness portion of it, and then, and not to judge, oh, that was bad, oh, I did that again, you know, oh, God, I can't believe I did that, you know, and don't go to the shame or the guilt or anything like that. Just recognize. And that's a huge step in the right direction. And then, you know, don't struggle with it and just allow it to leave, you know, let it go and be very open to that releasing.
Yeah, and you mentioned something about replace at some point in either this last part or before, and I think that's important as well, that people recognize that once they start replacing patterns with other, I call it tools in your tool belt, mm-hmm. you know, then you just have something else to reach for yes. in those moments too. Mm-hmm. So I think mm-hmm. that's important. Well, we'll be back shortly with more from Deanna Ryder, author of The Nine Scoundrels, How to Recognize and Release Subtle Patterns of Sabotage. Thank you to our sponsor, Fusion Life Spa, a holistic spa in Deep Haven, online at fusionlifespa.com. I'm Susan Shahada on Raising the Consciousness, online at raisingtheconsciousness.com.
Today's show is brought to you by Waterbury Music and Sound, a custom music, sound design, licensing, and audio for video post-production studio. Music producer and sound designer Reed Kruger welcomes you at www.waterburymusic.com.
ADB Urban Garage Builders presents The Day Tom Tried to Build Himself an Eco-Friendly Garage and His Neighbor Evan's Stunned Reaction to His Manifest Incompetence.
Hey, Tom, what you working on? A bomb shelter?
No, sir. It's my environmentally sustainable green garage.
I don't think you'll be able to fit your car in that.
Oh, that's okay. I couldn't fit my car in my old garage.
Is there even an entrance?
Oh, once I dig one, there will be.
How will you keep it from, you know, collapsing?
Did I mention it has no carbon footprint?
No.
Well, as it turned out, Tom's crummy pile of yard waste never did become the green garage he'd hoped for, because it fell down. Fortunately, ADB was able to build Tom a beautiful, eco-friendly garage out of fly ash concrete and other sustainable materials that was big enough for his Prius and his Hummer. They were even able to recycle debris from his old garage, the real one, not the silly dirt one. For more on our well-constructed green garages, visit ADB online at urbangaragebuilder.com. ADB, custom garages built in your own backyard.
Hello?
John.
Yes?
This is Steve with the debt collection agency calling about some money you owe us.
Look, I don't have any money right now. Look, I'm trying to...
Blah, blah, blah. John, I'm sick and tired of your bull... Either you pay us, or we'll have the sheriff out there with the warrant. He'll lock you up, and we'll take everything you own. John, you're not speaking what I want to hear. We'll just take it out of your bank account. I don't care what I have to do to get you to pay. Call your friends, call your work. I'll tell everybody what a deadbeat you are.
What you just heard is illegal. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act allows consumers to sue and recover damages from abusive debt collectors. Just because you owe debt doesn't mean you have to tolerate debt collectors' harassment and abuse. Fight back. Contact Minnesota consumer rights attorney Mark Haney for a free case evaluation. Call 952-933-9655. That's 952-933-9655. Or visit MinnesotaConsumerRights.com. There are no legal fees unless you recover damages.
Space is sacred. Space inside your home and space inside your body. Make conscious choices about how you fill these spaces. Sacred Rearrangements helps rearrange the space around and the space within. At Sacred Rearrangements, you'll find a shop with vintage, eco-friendly, and spiritually conscious merchandise, a design studio, and a healing center at 2207 Lindale Avenue South in Uptown or at sacredrearrangements.com. The perfect gift, intentional living space, direction in your life at Sacred Rearrangements. Welcome back to Raising the Consciousness. I'm Susan Shahada, joined by author and speaker Deanna Ryder. We are talking about her latest release, The Nine Scoundrels, How to Recognize and Release Subtle Patterns of Sabotage. That's kind of a mouthful. I like that, though, because subtle patterns of sabotage are so, it's so true that we are our own sort of worst enemies when it comes to self-sabotaging behavior. And there's so many different ways that we as humans find opportunities to sabotage, and you've broken them down in this book to basically nine little guys, as I like to call them, nine little scoundrels of different behavior types. And one of the things we were talking about before the break is the over technique, the technique that you describe in the book about how to release these patterns of sabotage. And again, the over technique stands for observe, verify,
examine, and release.
I like it. So let's talk about some more examples of releasing patterns. Maybe you can either do that in a broad sense or give us an example from one of the specific scoundrels. What are some of the things you suggest?
Well, let's look at addicted to misery scoundrel. So this would be someone who is really addicted to having that unhappiness piece. You know that they want that misery in their life. They're used to that struggle. And so, addicted to misery, some of the different sections in that chapter that I give as ways to replace the behavior, realizing that you're responsible for your own happiness, recognizing that you create your reality, being at peace, examining relationships, releasing what isn't working, releasing drama, releasing need to emote, and releasing addiction.
Releasing drama that stands out, because I think that definitely people, the humans, we like our drama and different ways of keeping us stuck in a pattern.
That was interesting when I was working on that section several different times over and really recognizing how at the time when I wrote it, I had moved through several different layers of releasing drama, one of which I found that I would purposely leave my house in just the nick of time, where if I had 20 minutes to get somewhere, I would leave 20 minutes, get in my car exactly 20 minutes, and then I'd kind of race. My adrenaline would get, you know, increased, and I'd be very excited, and I'd have a lot of fun with that. You know, just
interesting. Interesting.
And different things like that, where I'm like, oh God, that's just sabotaging myself. Why not leave 30 minutes beforehand and have a nice commute, and then get to the place and sit for a few minutes, and then, you know, go into the building or whatever.
Did you find that you were doing that because you actually liked that adrenaline rush of being?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah.
Interesting.
I was a long distance runner for years, so I love the speed, you know. But
it's interesting, though. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that what people don't realize is how these patterns that in one way serve you, which I'm sure was a great pattern as a long distance runner, are, again, self-sabotaging in a different scenario. So do you recommend then that you just find different ways to channel that energy? Because obviously it's not just about stopping being who you are, but finding a more productive way to, say, bring on that adrenaline rush that you would get rather than leaving 20 minutes for the 20-minute commute.
Yeah. So in that section, you know, I recommend having drama in your life in other ways. Go out in nature and, you know, have a really fun hike, or, you know,
something that stimulates the self in some other way.
Something that's healthy rather than going to that negative aspect. But I found when I was writing that section, I was actually at a retreat center for a while working on the book, so I could move very deeply into the sections. And there was no drama to be found, of course, there. It was just, you know, I woke up, I wrote all day. I took a hike for an hour, had a couple meals, and continued to write. I mean, it was the whole time, meditation, writing. And so there was no drama. And I realized the one day that I really sunk into that chapter, I went out on a walk. I decided to go down some old farm roads. And it was as if I was looking for some drama. Like, I was just, and I knew my energy was just like, what can I do? What can I find?
Oh, interesting.
And yeah, and so I went past this house, and there was this dog, and the dog was just crazy barking and ran up to meet me and, you know, was just barking at me and running around in circles and, you know, trying to jump up at me. And I was just like, oh, how did I attract this dog? Why is this dog here? And then I was walking back and I'm realizing, oh, I needed that dog so much because there's no drama here. There's just nothing.
You needed some kind of stimulation. Interesting.
Yeah. So even a movie, a good movie, play, TV or show or something, that can give you drama in a nice, you know, safe way.
Exactly. Well, we just have a few minutes, but just one quick question here. Forward thinking scoundrel. Mm-hmm. Isn't it good to prepare for the future? Why is that considered a self-sabotaging?
Well, it is good to prepare for the future. The problem with the forward thinking scoundrel is that they are pretty much always forward thinking.
So not in the present moment.
Not in the present moment. Exactly. And so while it's helpful to have that forward-thinking mentality, and these people tend to get a lot of things done.
Mm.
You know, they're very productive, but they often miss the happiness, the successful feeling, the present moment aspect of it. So, and they are multitasking so much to the point where they're not even focused on what they're doing. So they can be driving, and they're listening to the radio, on the phone, planning dinner, you know, on and on.
Yeah.
They're never really connected in. And so that can be a huge sabotage pattern.
Makes a lot of sense. Well, thank you, Deanna. I love the nine scoundrels. I love the idea of the book. And I, of course, love your first book as well. As I said, Dancing with Divinity, Positive Affirmations for Any Situation. Both of them are very interesting books. You can get them via your website, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and your website is diawati.com. I'm going to spell that for people. D-A-Y-A-W-A-T-I, diawati.com. And is there any final words you would like to share with us?
I also teach different workshops and seminars around the country. So
wonderful.
That can be available through my website as well.
And you have a couple DVDs as well?
Mm-hmm. I do. I have a yoga DVD and a dance DVD. And those go along with the affirmations and the chakra system. And everything should be up on my website today, if
wonderful.
Not tomorrow.
And so if those updates aren't on there, we can maybe look for them later in the week.
Yes.
And they'll be on there. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Well, thanks to our sponsors, Twin Cities Mediation, Waterbury Music, Yoga Soul in Eagan, and Fusion Life Spa in Deep Haven. The show is brought to you by Sacred Rearrangements Shop and Healing Center on 22nd and Lindale in Uptown Minneapolis, and Fairtrade Ohm, a conscious philanthropic production company. Sound designed by Keith Helke. I'm Susan Shahada with Colleen Buckman, who will be back next week. Thank you for listening to Raising the Consciousness, Simple Solutions for Conscious Living.
This is Ed Schultz, and when I'm in the Twin Cities, I expect two things: friendly people and great food. And you'll find them both at the Louisiana Cafe, the Uptown Diner, and the Woodbury Cafe. For a hearty breakfast,